And we're going to try this again, Chris Graham. And we're back here on our AFP Street Knowledge podcast. And I want to have Crystal Graham join me on this podcast. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about local efforts related to the, let's call it a coronavirus shutdown. We're being advised, obviously, we all know this. We've seen this on the news, the national news, activities curtailed. Schools are closed. We have a lot of folks that are probably listening right now. If you're listening right now, it's because you're working from home. Maybe you've even been shuttered for a bit, and hopefully that's not the case. Those who maybe are listening on the podcast version of this, the archived version later, getting to the point where you're listening because you want to learn more, but you've been at work today. And life is obviously curtailed, changed a good bit. We don't know for how long. But in the meantime, what we want to talk about on this live podcast, and we would love to have some input from our listeners as well. You can, as you're listening to this on the Podbean app, you can actually comment with a message. You can ask questions. You can, you know, kind of direct us to tell you what, we can try to answer the questions as best we can. But I'm going to have Crystal Graham join me here in just a moment. And let's see if I can get Crystal in here. Connect with Crystal. Sorry, I had to push a button to get Crystal to join me in here. She's been eagerly wanting to get in on this discussion here. So hopefully Crystal Graham is with me. And
hi, Chris.
There's Crystal. Yes. How are you, Crystal?
I'm doing great.
All right. Well, let's start. I think the most important thing for folks is the news about local schools and what they're doing to cope with this coronavirus shutdown. And we love seeing what we've seen about this, Crystal. The local schools providing meals, of course, the kids are doing home-based instruction. Talk to our listeners out there about what you've learned. You're our unofficial coronavirus response editor with all the work you've done the last couple of days. Tell us what the schools are doing to help folks cope with this shutdown.
Sure. And just to step back for a minute, I mean, basically, Augusta Free Press, what we've done is we've created a hub for you. So if you're someone who needs to know anything related to the local response, we invite you to go to AugustaFreePress.com. There you'll find links to all this information. There's stories that Chris is talking about, including the schools, which we'll talk about. But in addition to that, if you go to our AFP coronavirus links page, you'll actually find information on if you want to volunteer, if you need assistance, if you're looking to donate to the local efforts, if you need to find a food pantry. I mean, all that information is there. As far as schools go, this was one of the most important things since the governor shut down schools for basically 2 weeks. One of the biggest concerns is, you know, Waynesboro and surrounding areas tend to be a high volume of people who are on free or reduced lunches. And so it did become a concern as to whether or not, you know, parents would have the additional funds to pay for breakfast and lunches for kids. So basically what's happened is all three of the local school systems, Augusta County, Stanton, and Waynesboro, have set up different policies for how you can go about getting breakfast and lunches on a daily basis. In Augusta County, for example, they're providing grab-and-go breakfast and lunch meals from 9 to 11 a.m. So as of right now, you can actually go to any Augusta County elementary school, Beverly Manor Middle School, or Buffalo Gap High School, and you can pick up 2 days worth of food per child, is my understanding. So also, I think they're going to be doing some deliveries by school bus as well. And so basically, you need to contact the school if you're interested in having your meals delivered. So the best place to go for Augusta County is to their website, but you can get that information on our website at AugustaFreePress.com. Click on that AFP coronavirus links in the right-hand column at the top of our website, and you'll find information there. In Stanton, they're providing the same kind of grab-and-go service. I think it's being picked up at Shelburne Middle School front entrance. Basically, you're just driving up, picking that up, and they're going to be volunteers there, like, handing you the food. That's just, again, to limit the number of people that you're dealing with, and that's from 10 a.m. to noon this week and next week. And in Waynesboro, they're doing the same thing, pick up from 9 to 11 a.m. They're the only one who's having you fill out a Google form. So you actually have to go online, fill out a Google form telling them that you're going to be there so that they have the right number of meals prepared. And then they're going to have pickup there as well. So you need to go fill out that form. And again, you can get to that link by going to AugustaFreePress.com and clicking on that AFP links section.
Yeah, and so that's great. You know, obviously, for local parents, especially. I mean, we have issues in our community, like a lot of communities do. Actually, I've said this a lot back from years ago when I ran for city council here in Waynesboro. It was noted, and I raised issue with how our school system has the challenges that we have with over 60% of our students on free and reduced lunch. Actually, we're not really, I mean, we're above the state average there, but a lot of local school systems across the state, really outside of the major metro areas, have similar ratios. And we're not even necessarily the highest, but that's still a high rate. That's still a scary rate. I was a kid on free and reduced lunch back when I was in school. So I know what it means to, you know, not have access to food. When you're growing up, I was a skinny kid for a long time, and it wasn't because I didn't prove to be a voracious eater. So,
We were also free and reduced lunch, and I know in our case, our bus dropped us off very early, so we always took advantage of the free breakfast as well. And so, definitely a public school kid here as well. Chris, I've also noticed that all three of the localities that we were just discussing declared local emergencies yesterday. What does that mean?
Well, I was just, to finish up the thought on the school lunches. So yeah, it's great that obviously we don't know how long this is going to go, but I would presume, I would hope if this does linger past the end of the school year, which there is a possibility it will, let's hope that continues. Obviously the schools are stepping up there in a great way. The local emergencies, it really, even the national state of emergency, you've heard there was the state of emergency. Both of those were declared last week. It sounds really, really bad when you hear state of emergency. What does that mean? It can be scary. It really just, there are laws that are triggered that give various levels of government more leeway to suspend budgetary restraints, for example. You can direct more resources within your budget without legislative approval from stated courses to emergency response courses. And so at the local level, what this means, at the national level, what it means is you can put more money from certain places to, for example, coronavirus response, coordinated efforts at the federal level to perhaps incentivize the construction and distribution of more ventilators, which is a very big need, as we're hearing, masks and that kind of thing. And also more efforts, more efforts related to the dissemination of testing. That's what a state of emergency means at the national level. The state level, there are probably some similar things there, just in terms of the allocation of resources that can be coordinated at a state level. At the local level, it's a little more basic. I've pulled up, for example, the Waynesboro City emergency declaration that was sent to us last evening. The small things, the things you'll see, but the least important, maybe, I guess, you'll notice them more, but they're also the least important. All gatherings of 50 or more people that were supposed to be hosted by the city are off for the next 8 weeks. So what does that mean? City council meetings presumably will be limited in terms of attendance. I haven't seen anything specific to that, but of course, and this is the case for all local governments in Virginia, this is the budget season. The spring season is the budget making season for the fiscal year budgets that start July 1st. And so, this would normally be a time of year where you'd see more attendance at city council meetings, board of supervisors meetings, school board meetings, and that kind of thing. And there could be some meetings of that nature where, you might see a couple hundred people come out to talk about important things to them budget-wise. Those meetings now, for example, I'm seeing that planning commission meetings, the planning commission votes on zoning issues and things of that nature. There's talk about setting up remote participation, so maybe using something like we're using here, maybe Facebook Live, maybe YouTube Live, something like that. I haven't gotten the particulars on that, but there was information in the press release from the city yesterday that they are exploring those options. Mike Hamp, the city manager, longtime city manager here over a decade, he emphasized yesterday that the pandemic will not disrupt core and essential city services. He emphasized public safety agencies and public works. So what that means is, you know, Parks and Rec right now, not the most important thing, obviously. I mean, you know, just maintaining the appearance of things, you know, maybe the greenway in the city parks. If you do go to the green, you know, outside exercise is encouraged, certainly in this kind of scenario. And today's a warm day. Just observe the social distancing rules, or as our colleague Jerry Carter yesterday wanted me to change the euphemism to physical distancing. We need to be in contact with each other socially, maybe more through social media and things like that. But physical distancing, you know, 3 feet apart, that kind of thing. So go on the greenway, walk. Just don't, you know, just don't make close contact. No handshaking, no hugging. As hard as that is for us to do as human animals. But the Parks and Rec, not the most important. The most important are police, fire, rescue, and public works was also emphasized by the city manager in his talk yesterday. Public works are, I mean, for example, today in our neck of the woods, we live in the tree streets. Today was trash pickup day. You know, that's an important thing. You know, it's something you take for granted. You put your trash out for us. It's every Tuesday. You take for granted, but you know, that needs to be done. Also, just making sure things work, like the water system works. You know, water and sewer works. So, public works, public safety, most important parts of city government in an emergency situation. So resources will be diverted as needed from other city budgets for the last couple of months of the year to those core areas.
Great. And if you're joining us live, you do have the ability to ask questions. So feel free to take advantage of that opportunity. If you have any questions about the local response, and this is Stanton, Waynesboro, and Augusta County, Virginia, I know that Podbean has listeners throughout the world, but specifically we're talking about the response here in the Stanton, Augusta, Waynesboro community. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about, Chris, is the response locally. You know, there's been a lot of great things that have been happening. One is through a group that started as a Facebook group and has kind of expanded now to a website. But the website is mutualaidsaw.com. And this is a place for people in Stanton, Waynesboro, and Augusta County to either sign up to volunteer or to sign up for assistance. And what they're basically doing is, if you sign up to volunteer to drive someone to get groceries, or to go get groceries for someone and leave them at their doorstep or something of that nature, then they'll connect you with someone who's requesting assistance in your same locality. So basically they have people in charge of each locality. And so for Waynesboro, for example, many of you may know Jennifer Lewis. She's leading the efforts in Waynesboro. And so anyone who signs up for assistance, she's connecting them with someone who might want to volunteer. So it's a great effort. I encourage you to check that out. I'll put that in the comments here as well, but it's mutualaidsaw.com. They also have a Facebook group, and that's a little bit more where people are sharing more information. They've also created a resource list in addition to the one that we've created on Augusta Free Press, and you can get to that through their website. And on their resource list, they're posting some of the same information that we're posting. I think it's through a Google Doc, but you can check that out as well. The other effort that I thought was pretty amazing was the Community Foundation of the Central Blue Ridge received a $100,000 donation from a couple in Stanton who set up a local response fund. They haven't said specifically how these funds are going to be used yet, because as any time kind of with breaking news, you need to figure out what the community's biggest needs are. Right now, it sounds like the food needs of children are being reached. So they're trying to figure out, is it childcare? What is it that, you know, is it helping people who may have lost their jobs, or at least their hours have been cut back significantly as a result of that? And sometimes that doesn't come out in, you know, the first week of something like that. Sometimes it might take 2 or 3 weeks, maybe even a couple of months before you really know the needs. But basically what they're doing is they've set up a page on their website that you can go to, and you can donate to the fund if you wish to contribute additionally. Or if you don't want to donate, you can contact them if you have any ideas related to how this funding can be used. I know there's already some things in the background right now, but they're specifically looking for input from the nonprofit sectors, churches, fire and rescue, and other organizations kind of on the front line of the local response. Does that make sense?
It does. And let me add some to the community foundations side of this. I've served on that board of directors. I continue to serve 6th year. And what that is, I've also served on the United Way board of directors here locally. I did a 3-year term several years ago. A similar process. Nonprofits apply for grants. They make their case. They either ask for funding on a general level or for specific projects. And people like me, and we have, I think it's 4 or 5 this year, different citizen review teams made up of, I want to say it's 4 or 5 members each. I wish I knew the exact numbers. I've served on this so many years, it kind of just rolls in the head. But there's, between 20, 25 of us who split up all the applications. There are over, and just in the Stanton, Waynesboro, Augusta, for the Community Foundation, also Highland, Nelson areas, there are over 130 nonprofits that apply for funding through the Community Foundation each year. And so we had just finished up at least the first phase of our grant reviews for the 2020-2021 fiscal year. We were still very much in the early phases. The next, we had a committee meeting that was going to be scheduled for later this month, where we would all argue with each other about our priorities based on the applications that we reviewed. And then there would be the bigger discussions. You kind of just work your way up, but you start at just looking at things individually. And literally, I sent my last reviews in the last Monday before heading down to Greensboro for the ACC tournament, back when the world was still what we thought it was forever, right? And so we've been told now that Dan Lehman, who is the executive director of the Community Foundation here locally, Community Foundation of the Central Blue Ridge, is actually reaching back out to the nonprofits to see if any want to amend their grant request they can continue with, because a lot of cases we get requests for money related to individual projects that a nonprofit is doing. And actually, in our review process, we tend to like those better than the general operating ones. It may be, though, that our nonprofits will say, you know what, in light of what we're facing right now, we'd rather focus on this, maybe even come up with new ways to partner with each other. We encourage from the Community Foundation level and the United Way level that nonprofits partner as much as they can so that they can share resources and be more effective and efficient. So, and I say that to say that even our Community Foundation at the Community Foundation level, even our 2020-2021 monies might be able to be directed to help with coronavirus response. And then there's this additional $100,000. I know that this is so fluid, Crystal. We just got this news on Sunday from Dan Lehman, and we shared it, and it's the top read story right now in Augusta Free Press. We're glad that people are interested and want to know more. But it's so early that, yes, right now, and I've had this question asked, Crystal, you have too, where's this money going to go? How is it going to be disseminated? It is too early to know. We can kind of get our hands around this a bit, that the move will be to institute a similar type review process that will get some people together. I may be one of those people, certainly a lot of smart people who do this on a regular basis, and will, as a committee, whether I'm on it or not, I shouldn't say we, but the organization will form some sort of a brain trust to kind of prioritize and decide from there. But you're right, it's too early, Crystal, to really know what the needs are, what the priorities are. It kind of depends on if we can get a handle on the extent of this in terms of time, longevity. Is this right now we're being told at the national level, prepare for 8 weeks of something. We're also seeing some experts say this could stretch, well into the summer, maybe midway through the summer. So anyway, and local folks are also, thinking 3 and 4 weeks away. So is it 3 or 4 weeks? Is it 8 weeks? Is it 3 months? Is it perhaps even longer than that? Some folks are trying to suggest it could go longer than that. Most folks I'm seeing are saying that, the shutdown may at the longest go into the end of the summer. But that's still, you're talking 3 or 4 months at the what some folks are saying worst case scenario. The impact on kids, the impact on parents, the impact on jobs in some cases could be devastating. And so we're going to want to do the best we can to mitigate that kind of impact.
Right. And I think you're right. There are going to be some short-term needs that I think the Community Foundation is going to have to make quick decisions on and allocate this funding. I know a group of leaders got together yesterday to start to discuss some things, childcare among them. And I know that one of the things that the Community Foundation said is come to us with a plan and we'll see what we can do. So I think that there's going to be some short-term needs that may not go through committee. They just need to be approved. And then, as you said, the more long-term things, the more lasting economic impacts and that kind of thing. I noticed a similar thing from the Stanton Creative Community Fund. Someone from there actually got on one of those groups that I was talking about on Facebook and said, look, if you're a business and you need some assistance, contact us. And so there's definitely some groups that are stepping up to offer assistance in various ways. The next population I wanted to talk about, if it's okay with you, Chris, is the senior population. We've talked a lot about children and childcare and parents and the job sector, but of course, seniors are the most vulnerable when it comes to this virus. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the Valley Program for Aging Services. They did shut down their senior centers and their Lexington. They have like a cafe location that they shut down as well. But from what they released yesterday, they said that they will still be delivering Meals on Wheels. That's obviously a very needed service. A lot of senior citizens rely on that. Just as a full disclosure, my mother happens to be the Meals on Wheels coordinator in the area, and she's been so busy. She hasn't filled me in on a lot of details, but from what I understand, they're going to be doing like temperature checks, health screenings of their volunteers, because obviously they don't want to send people to homes if they're exhibiting any symptoms that they could pass on. I don't know this for sure, but my guess would be that they're probably going to leave the meals on the doorsteps versus usually they have healthy chats with their seniors, that kind of thing. And, you know, also what I understand is that Meals on Wheels, typically those meals are delivered through churches. And some of those churches and other organizations have really canceled their volunteers through the end of the month out of safety for their own volunteers. So there may be a need for additional volunteers there. However, I know usually there's a pre-screening process and that kind of thing that takes effect. So it may be that some of the employees that work for the senior centers are going to be delivering the meals as well. But if you are looking for a place to volunteer, that's certainly a place that you could at least check in with. You could probably also go to the website that I referenced earlier, and I'll post that again in the links here in just a minute. And you can probably just put that you're willing to volunteer in Waynesboro. And if there's a need, your local person can connect you in that case. Another really cool thing that I found yesterday and that I posted in that AFP coronavirus links section is a postcard. And it's something that you can just print on your printer at home and actually leave. If you have a neighbor that you're concerned about or something like that, and you don't necessarily want to, either they're not home or you don't want to have a conversation with them because you're concerned about them, about their wellness, there's actually a little postcard that you can print. And it says kind of like, if you are self-isolating, I can help. And you leave your name, your phone number, and what you're willing to do, whether it's picking up shopping, having a phone call, just because if they need urgent supplies, help with mail. And basically, it's just saying, just call or text me and I'll do my best to help you for free. And this is something that you can do and, you know, basically leave in someone's doorstep if you have a neighbor that you're concerned about. So I think that's pretty awesome that somebody created something like that to help the seniors nationwide, really.
Yeah, you know, because a fear for me, Crystal and I worked, Augusta Free Press worked with the Valley Program for Aging Services here locally for several years, and we got to know the folks there really well, a lot of respect for what they do. And I remember one time when we were putting together one of their annual reports, we decided to make it really stand out by writing some stories and doing some feature pieces on both the people who provide the services, the volunteers as well, but also the folks who receive services from the Valley Program for Aging Services. And part of that, one year I did a ride along one morning with a group that was delivering meals. And what I learned on that, I guess I rode around one morning for about 3 hours as the meals were being delivered. You know, the people who were delivering the meals, like Crystal said, they're volunteers. A lot of them are regulars. You know, they may do one day a month. You know, they don't necessarily do it every day, but you know, your church maybe gets one day a week or one day a month, and then you volunteer for that day. And so these folks knew the people they were serving the meals to. You know, they, hey, how are you doing? How are things going? How you feel? And so, you know, for people who need Meals on Wheels, this might be the only person they see that day. And maybe, who knows? I mean, you know, they might be the only person they see for a few days. And so not only were the meals like important for food purposes, they were important for social purposes. That's going to be one sad thing here. Hopefully, even if you leave the food on the doorstep, if you can, if the folks can at least just talk, you know, from so safe social distance away, that kind of thing. But also it might sound macabre, but just the fact that someone was checking in on these people every day was important. You know, I've read a story, and I'm sure folks out there have done this as well, but the harrowing situation in Italy, which has a much, per capita, a much bigger senior population than the rest of the world. And a number of their deaths have been among seniors who are most vulnerable to this particular virus. There was one story about an apartment complex, a senior who lived in this apartment complex. No one had heard from her in a few days, and of course she was discovered dead. That's the worst thing about this. And so I'm as worried not about necessarily, I mean, yeah, certainly about the coronavirus impacts for seniors, but I'm as worried that the senior centers here locally, I mean, anybody who's ever visited one, Crystal and I have done this on multiple occasions. There are, I think, 8 in the area here. The Valley Program of Aging Services includes Bath and Highland, Rockbridge County, Augusta County, Rockingham County. And we've visited a number of those facilities during those years we worked with VPass. And I mean, boy, you'll see some days you'd see 50, 60 seniors at these centers and, you know, having coffee and playing games and doing the, you know, senior workouts. And you'd have volunteers from the local YMCA or fitness center leading those things. And you see how important those places are, and now they're closed down. And so they lose that contact. So I fear that, you know, whether coronavirus, you know, takes some of our seniors from us or puts them at risk, it may be other things too. It might be the loss of social aspect for them. It may be the loss of, because for a lot of folks that we talked with, Crystal, over the years, these seniors would say, man, I was so depressed before I was able to find, you know, this senior center. Your grandmother, for example, from Minnesota, Crystal, she obviously wasn't from here, but she was so resistant at moving into a place where she could have access to other seniors. And she was so resistant to it until she actually moved there. And then, you know, she ran into people she knew and hadn't seen in many years. And her life was brightened in her last few years. So I really fear not just for seniors. I really fear not just for, you know, the short-term coronavirus, but hopefully, you know, that we don't lose some folks who just lose touch with things. And so that's a huge issue. The kids have homeschooling they can do, but, you know, what are we going to do for seniors? I think that's going to be a big issue as we kind of roll through this.
So two things to add to that is just be kind. Check up on your neighbors. If you have a family member who's a senior citizen, check in on them, call them. You know, try to find out if they have their neighbor's phone number or something, just so you can check on them. If you can't get them on the phone, you can have a neighbor check in on them or something like that. I mean, I think common sense kind of prevails in this situation. I know I personally made a list of about 10 people that I plan to check in on. Some of them are senior citizens. Some of them are people that I'm worried or that I fear may need assistance in some way. And so, you know, if we can each kind of do our own part, I think that goes, you know, a long way regarding that. What was the other thing that you had just said when you were wrapping up about the kids? I wanted to mention that for parents, I know that, you know, you all probably at this point, in some cases, I was seeing online that some parents are struggling to get the curriculums and that kind of things to keep their kids up to date on schoolwork. But for in addition to curriculum, you're just dealing with the fact that your kids are home, whether it's with you or with a sitter or a family member or something like that, but they're home and, you know, it's a lot of time that you're trying to occupy them with. And of course, you know, a lot of kids are perfectly fine with television or video games, or maybe you can get them outside for a walk, especially on some of these beautiful days like today, participating in some outdoor activities. Again, the general guideline is that you want to keep about 6 feet per person, but you can still certainly do some things outside, take a walk on the Greenway here in Waynesboro or at the park at Gypsy Hill. And still kind of follow those guidelines. But in addition to that, even if you're just sitting on your front porch, right, and breathing in some fresh air, on that page that I was talking about, the Augusta Free Press coronavirus links page, I actually posted about 30 links to things that parents can do if they're looking for something a little bit different for their children. It's everything from Broadway plays and musicals that you can watch for free at home, to the Cincinnati Zoo is doing some Facebook Lives, and they're going to have some activities following that. There's dance programs for kids. There's free art lessons. There's virtual tours of museums. The National Aquarium has a live feed, some virtual field trips. The Weather Channel is doing a couple of weather lessons for kids too. And so I posted links to all kinds of things, including some outdoor activities that you can do with your kids as well. So check that out too. Again, if you're just joining us, AugustaFreePress.com is the place to go. And in the right-hand column is a link to AFP coronavirus links. And that's kind of where all these things are that we're talking about. And of course, that parent section, or the stuff for kids to do, really applies to anyone who's listening throughout the world. You know, these are free resources in most cases for you and your kids. And it's even there's even some guidance on how to talk to your kids about what's happening right now, because it may be a very hard thing to talk about. So anyway, definitely check out those resources. The other thing I saw a big need for was some people were posting in that Facebook group that I was talking about a need to kind of post what's happening with local businesses in the community. And while it's really hard for one person to kind of share everything that's happening, Augusta Free Press is sharing on our Facebook page a link to pretty much anything that local businesses are sharing. So if they're making takeout available, and that's not usually what they do, or if they're making curbside pickup available, closures, people who are staying open, basically any information that we get regarding festivals, libraries, you know, anything like that, we're posting that under a closures and announcements section in that same link area. And so, you know, again, it's kind of up to these organizations to keep us up to date. We're getting most of our information through social media or through news releases that come in to us. But we are posting that information as a way to kind of highlight not just closures, but also small businesses. I mean, especially restaurants, who I'm sure are very fearful about losing business right now, because most people are a little fearful of eating out right now. But if we can all take advantage, many people have suggested buying gift cards so that you can go back there later, but so that the restaurants are still getting some income now. And if not, you know, again, doing that curbside pickup or the takeout, just to limit the interaction with this, you know, with as few people as possible, and still support our local businesses.
Yeah, that's because, you know, we all have our favorites, and we all are going to get through this, however long that is to get through. And we would love to see, I mean, local business in general. You know, we've talked about the restaurants, you know, the bookshops. New Dominion Bookshop's a favorite of ours over in Charlottesville. They've adapted a bit, you know, trying to increase their online presence. And Ragged Mountain Running Shop's a favorite of mine. I'm a runner, which will be a important part. I'm actually wearing new shoes right now that we just purchased from them online over the weekend. I needed a new pair anyway. So, supporting those local businesses. I mean, not to say anything, you know, Amazon is what it is, and we'll all need to rely on Amazon a lot too. They're hiring 100,000 more people. A lot of short-term people that will probably be losing jobs or being furloughed from their other jobs during this, and that they'll be putting those folks to work. So at least, you know, mitigating some of the impact for people. But Amazon will play an important role in this. But if we can, you know, they're a national company, a big conglomerate. If we can do what we can do to support those local businesses, very important to be able to do that. And you know,
yeah, as a small business ourselves, you know, we're kind of in the same shoes. And so I look at all these local businesses, like you said, Ragged Mountain Running Shop, things like that. You know, if there's anything that we can do to kind of support them through this, because whether this lasts 2 weeks or 2 months or longer, you know, the economic impacts are going to, you know, not just on families, but also on small business owners and the community as a whole are probably going to be long lasting, you know. And so anything we can do to kind of help people during this time. And again, I'm really props to the Stanton Creative Community Fund for trying to find a way to help businesses right now, to the Community Foundation and the couple who donated that $100,000 to really jumpstart some assistance here. And even, like I said, the SAW group that's providing some aid as well, that are really trying to connect volunteers with people that are willing to help them, you know, people who need assistance. So I think that as a whole, the community is really stepping up and checking in on each other and trying to make sure needs are met. you know, as time goes on, that may prove to be more difficult. You know, we're kind of in week one in the first 3 or 4 days of really this impact, specifically in Waynesboro and Augusta. And we talk a lot about the kids because that's the thing that's happened most so far. A lot of people are working from home at this point, or, you know, businesses seem to be working through this, at least a lot of the big companies and the fact of that. But the biggest impact, the first thing we saw was, you know, here's all these kids that would normally be in school that are now at home that we've got to make accommodations for.
Well, and think about this though, Crystal. We talked about businesses are working as best they can. We personally know people who are able to work from home. We are able to work from home. Augusta Free Press is based out of an office in our home, has been for many years. And we're fortunate in that respect. And I know people who work for the state, who work for the city government in office capacities. Those folks can telecommute. This is an area, though. You know, our home base here, especially Stanton, Waynesboro, Augusta, is an area with a lot of factories and warehouses. And we're fortunate in that respect, in that those jobs pay well. But they're also the kind of jobs, if you work in one of the, for example, in Stewart's Draft out in Augusta County, about 10 miles from us here, you know, we have to hope that the Hershey's and McKee's that make all the good sweets that they're still working hard. But you can't do that from home. The Target Distribution Center that's out and also in the Stewart's Draft area, you can't do that from home. Somebody's got to move those boxes around. Those are just two examples of places where, you know, that kind of work needs to be done on site. And so people who work in grocery stores, people who work in banks, you know, those essential businesses right now that have to stay open, and certainly the people who work in healthcare, people in the front lines of healthcare, we love you guys, and you're going to be really busy, obviously, the next few months. So those folks can't work from home. So yeah, it's an issue, and people who work the hourly wage jobs who can't afford to have somebody stay home. Our society's gotten to the point where, you know, it is what it is. Both parents need to work just to be able to make ends meet. And, you know, so this is a challenge. And I know that, Crystal, I think you referenced this earlier, but, you know, for example, we work closely with the Waynesboro YMCA. In fact, where I'm sitting, I'm looking almost, if I could see through the trees I'm looking at right now, I could see the Waynesboro YMCA. We're that close. They provide an essential childcare service for lots of working class residents of the area. But the challenge is, you know, with restrictions on how many people can be in one place, you know, they're trying to work through some ways to continue to provide childcare for people who desperately need it, who can't just stay home, can't leave their kids at home. These are challenges that we'll have to overcome, whether it's 2 weeks or 2 months or however much longer it might be.
Right. And we've definitely talked with Jeff Fife, the executive director of the Waynesboro Y, and I know that they're making exactly what you talked about, small groups. They shut down one of their gyms so that they can work in smaller groups and that kind of thing with the kids. And I noticed that there's a couple of comments from listeners, and they seem to be a little bit more worldwide. We have someone listening from Brazil, someone listening in from Sweden. I'm wondering, Chris, if you can kind of give us the overall perspective related to the United States right now. You know, we're talking about really the United States. This has been part of our conversation for a couple of weeks, but really only in the last 3 or 4 days are we talking about shutting down schools, shutting down major sports. You know, that happened last week when you were sitting courtside at the ACC tournament and found out that event was canceled, and then shortly thereafter the NCAA tournament, and now baseball, all major sports are kind of pushed back. What is the current state? I know we have a tracker on the Augusta Free Press website, again, under those coronavirus links, but there's a tracker on there, and it gives us a little bit more information about where things stand right now. We're not currently here in Waynesboro, Stanton, and Augusta County in what's considered an infection zone, but just 20 miles away in Charlottesville, there is one confirmed case. Can you give us kind of just a little bit of the overall picture of what the United States is dealing with right now?
Yeah, I know infection zone sounds so dystopian. It just means that there's at least one case in your area. And yes, Charlottesville and Harrisburg, 21 and 22 miles away, respectively, there are one case in each location. In fact, Crystal, you'll like to hear this. I won't give the name, but a person that we both know really well was the first person in Waynesboro tested for coronavirus, a person who had respiratory issues. In fact, is still dealing with some respiratory issues. Person in his 40s, and he was tested last Thursday. Now he was put on self quarantine, and he and his family, in fact, were all put on quarantine. And this is Tuesday, so at least we're 5 days into that. He got the news today that his coronavirus test came back negative. Now, he still has to figure out, the doctor still has to figure out what the heck's causing his problems, whether it's flu or pneumonia. I guess they did a flu test and that didn't come back positive. So there's something causing issues with him, but the coronavirus test came back negative. He actually has been feeling better the last couple of days. So, but we know someone personally who has been tested, has been through that quarantine. And so, as far as the national numbers are still not changing much, and that's not a sign, you know, if you're, I'm a numbers person. People who read our website, especially for sports, know that I'm a deep numbers person. I will analyze a basketball game to the last dribble if necessary to tell you why it happened the way it did. And so now, without sports to take away that mental energy, I'm putting it to this. And I'd love to say that the fact that there are right now on our coronavirus tracker, infection2020.com, which is linked from our website, 4,746 confirmed cases in the United States. That doesn't sound like a lot. You're talking, you know, there's 200,000 confirmed cases worldwide. And so, wow, that's grown by about 2,900 since last Thursday when we started looking at this. But I would say, and I say only 93 deaths, you know, 90, that's 93 people whose families have lost their loved one. But when you look at, I think Italy, as of the last time I looked, which was just before we started this live podcast, it was around 1800. So I wouldn't say jump up and down about those numbers yet, though, because a big part of this is that we have not tested to any extent that some other countries have. Certainly the countries that are ahead of us, South Korea, for example, per capita has made a policy. See, we're here in the United States still just testing people who show symptoms, like my friend. In South Korea, they actually have gotten to the point. Now, they have about a 10-week head start on us in terms of having had to deal with this, because they were closer to the epicenter of this in China, certainly, than we are geographically. But they are now, they've been testing for weeks now, not just people who show symptoms, but they've been doing sort of, I wouldn't call them random tests, but they've been doing much more thorough testing. They've tested roughly one out of every 200 people in that country. And as a result, they've been able to catch not just the people who, like my friend, were symptomatic and you know, at least presented that they could have be deep in the throes of coronavirus, but they've actually been able to catch some people who are walking around. Maybe, I mean, let's assume we don't know much about the details of those two NBA players, but we also know that they were still playing games and not, it basically felt like they had cold or flu symptoms and instead of coronavirus. So some people are be able to handle this a lot better. A lot of people, we're hearing that 80% of cases actually just results in basically cold symptoms, you know, cold-like symptoms. For 80% of people, this is just a mild thing. And it's something you deal with several times a year if you're calling it a cold. But in, you know, in those other cases, they do get a little more severe. Certainly those cases that ended up in people in ICUs are the ones we're concerned about from a capacity standpoint. But they're able to get, in South Korea, because they're doing such extensive testing, they're able to get people who are carriers of coronavirus, maybe not showing anything, but if you're carrying it and you can pass it on. So, for example, Crystal, if I was carrying it, not showing any symptoms, not really feeling any ill effects, but then I went to visit either of your parents who are seniors, who have varying health issues themselves, and I just, hey, I'm fine, I don't need to worry about it, but I'm carrying it, and then they get it. I mean, it develops into something for them that's much more serious. That's what we, you know, you would hope to be able to forestall with much more extensive testing. We're still at the very beginning. We're just testing people who are showing really acute symptoms, and as a result, and we're not really doing an extensive number of testing. I ran some numbers on this, Crystal. If we were to do in this country, if we already had done. The amount of testing that has been done in South Korea, and based on, here's an interesting fact too. Just like my friend who has tested negative for coronavirus, the University of Washington lab has been very proactive. They share their results. They're doing about 4,000 tests a day up there at University of Washington, of course, the epicenter here in the United States, and they're doing about 4,000 tests a day, and they report every day on the number of cases, the number of tests they do, and then the number of cases confirmed that they're getting. And it's about 7%. And you're seeing that number worldwide range from 6% to 9%. I'm tracking this maybe way too much, but maybe not. And so if you just use the 7% number that the Washington labs are getting, University of Washington labs are getting, if we tested one out of every 200 people in this country, there are roughly 330 million Americans in this country. That'd be 1.65 million people. If 7% of those tests were to come back positive, we'd be looking at about 100,000 cases. Right now, we're reporting about 5,000 cases. Now, when I say that, it's not to scare you. It's to say, again, 80% of those cases where we've learned from studies of what's happened in other countries, 80% of those 100,000 cases are no more than a cold for most people. It's the 20%, though, that are the scary ones. And 20%, and I say scary, it's not that the other 20%, it's not either you're mild or you're an ICU. But if those numbers were to roll out, you know, in a way, that'd be 20,000 people who you'd have to pay attention to, like my friend, who of course tested negative, but he showed symptoms and he's still actually dealing with a sickness. So you're talking 20,000 people. Now, of that percentage, how many of those are in ICU? I haven't been able to break that down quite yet, but that gives you an indication. Right now, we're reporting 5,000 cases. I think the reason we're reporting less than 5,000 cases, actually 4,746 as according to Tracker right now, I think the reason we're only reporting that is because we haven't done more extensive testing. That's a failure of the federal government, yeah, which they're hopefully addressing, but that's if that makes any sense, that's sort of the overview of where we are right now.
Yes, it does. And I was looking at Augusta Health, who's the major hospital here in the Stanton, Augusta, Waynesboro community, is posting some information on their website as well. And one of the things that they posted is that the strong majority of patients who have coronavirus, and this is saying about 80% of people, have very mild symptoms. And they don't require any kind of hospitalization or anything like that. Many of them probably aren't getting tested just because they feel like it's the flu. With all the news on this, some of them might be trying to get tested. But testing is very limited at this point. Like even now in our area, it's limited to people who meet certain criteria. And some of that is your symptoms, but also that you've recently traveled to high risk areas or had, you know, close contact with someone either known to have coronavirus or someone who had traveled to these areas. So not everyone who even is displaying symptoms is being tested right now. And so that does play a factor into what numbers I think are being represented at this point. And, I think the most important advice that we're getting here is, you know, there have been runs on stores here in the Stanton, Augusta, Waynesboro area, probably like the entire nation probably is very similar in the sense that you pretty much can't find things like Clorox wipes or toilet paper at grocery stores right now. Stores are restocking and apparently there's lines and they're now putting limits on things just so that more people can get what they need. I know the Valley Mission in Stanton, who has, you know, anywhere from 60 to 90 people there at any given time, put out a request yesterday because they're desperately in need of toilet paper and it's just not easy to come by right now. So they were asking people who may have overbought to perhaps consider donating to them. You know, the advice that Augusta Health and all the other organizations, you know, the CDC, things like that say, you don't have to have hand sanitizer. The biggest thing is just washing your hands, right? Something so simple, just washing your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds is what they're advising. And of course, if you're sick or you have any symptoms, just stay home. You know, that's their biggest advice right now. And I think in general, the advice is stay home unless even though we're not under an official quarantine, we don't have any specific times that we're told that we have to, you know, to be in our homes or anything like that. At this point, you know, common sense still kind of prevails. If you don't have to leave, don't, you know, if you need to go to the grocery store, you need to go get medications or you need to go to work, of course you need to go do those things. But kind of limiting yourself to the number of people that you encounter. And while there are some guidelines that say 50 people or less, there are other guidelines that say 10 people or less. I mean, I'm part of a book club that's 10 people or less, and we're already looking at alternative plans for our book club. So, you know, I think in general, people are being very smart about the choices that they make. You know, right now, I know some people who are volunteering for senior-based organizations. I was on a text thread this morning, and they're saying, look, you know, we're not really volunteering a lot of other places right now because we don't want to encounter a whole lot more people. We feel like we need to be very careful with who we encounter since we're working directly with senior citizens. And obviously, that makes total sense. So I think in general, people are calm, they're not panicking, and we're, as a community, working together very well.
If I could, for our local listeners particularly, I know we have national, international listeners, and thank you to everybody for joining in. I wanted to give a sense number-wise just for our area here, which the Stanton, Waynesboro, Augusta area, I know especially for the listeners from national, international, you're thinking, wow, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, but actually two cities, two independent cities located in our region. They're small, 20 to 25,000 each, and then the county, Augusta County, is actually the geographically the size almost of the state of Rhode Island in terms of square miles, but it's also a lot of cows live here, but there are 75,000 people as well. So we're talking about a population of around 125,000. So if you ran numbers based on the numbers I was doing earlier, just kind of, again, modeling, these are not anything to be considered scientific. It's just trying to give you a sense of possible scope. If we were to do the testing that has been done, South Korea is considered gold standard right now for how to approach this from a testing standpoint. If we would have tested 600 people, that's one out of every 200 roughly people, we would presume 7% of those would come back positive. 7% of 600 would be 42. We currently have no confirmed cases in our region. We also, I'll give the example again of the friend of ours, Crystal, who got tested. He got tested last Thursday. He found out today his coronavirus test came back negative. That's a distressingly slow process, at least here. I mean, I don't know what it is elsewhere. I mean, we were told that President Trump took a test and found out pretty soon afterwards that his test was negative. So, you know, in some cases it's quick, and obviously in our case here it's not. You know, it's got to get ramped up. I mean, if you're a person who's out there and you're sick, now obviously the first advice is if we tested you, stay home and keep your family home with you, and nobody leaves the house. But you know, that's problematic if you ask me. But if I run those numbers, 42 people that right now, if that's, you know, just to give you the model kind of estimate of how many people might now be right now be walking around in Stanton, Waynesboro, Augusta County. With coronavirus, 80% of those cases would be the mild cases. So if we're doing a modeling again, 80% of 42 is what, 32, 33. And then that still means there's, you know, 9 or 10 people who are pretty serious. And this is also just, you know, I mentioned Italy has a higher than national per capita rate of seniors. Our area here is also a pretty senior laden area. I know Waynesboro's numbers very well. We have about 30% higher number of seniors than the state average. That's an issue. I mean, 9 people right now, and they, just to explain to people out there, because I know, Crystal, we were at the grocery store the other day, and the people we were interacting with seemed to think still that this is something. You were picking up something at the pharmacy. We got some groceries, and in both places, people acted like this is a hoax. It's just a media plot. It's whatever it is. If you want to keep thinking that, that's fine. But, you know, go out and keep doing the normal things you want to do, if you know, and then we'll keep spreading it. I mean, right now, the idea behind this is to, you know, minimize our exposure to each other, minimize thus the ability for us to transport this virus to each other, especially then to transport it to seniors that we know and love. And buy time, both for our hospitals to not be overwhelmed with the number of ICU cases, but also buy time for those. There's efforts right now that yesterday we saw news that the first vaccine trial began up in Washington State, up in the Seattle area. The first actual shot in an arm for someone who's testing a coronavirus vaccine was done. We know that we've learned from other countries, particularly South Korea, apparently is doctors there have made some advances they feel in terms of not vaccines, but treatments that seem to be effective in recovery of patients there. And so we can learn from those. I mean, we're trying to buy ourselves time, both for the hospital system to not be overwhelmed, spread those cases out, but also buy some time for maybe, you know, there's been a theory floated, including by President Trump, but also by others who actually know something about medicine, that if the coronavirus acts like the flu and warm weather may, you know, make it less effective in terms of transmitting, maybe we'll buy ourselves the summer to get through this and then buy ourselves, again, more time to develop a vaccine and some treatments. That's all we're doing here. We're just trying to buy some time, because what we don't want to have happen is what we've read has happened in some places in northern Italy, where people who would otherwise be treated and would be able to, you know, they would deal with something really bad to be able to live through it. are dying. And so we're trying to avoid overwhelming our healthcare system's capacity to be able to deal with really intensive cases. So you think to yourself all you want that it's a hoax, but just still maintain social distancing. Do the best you can to get through what could be a few weeks or a couple of months, and hopefully we'll be able to get through this.
Yeah, I know we want to keep this local. And so, but there was a listener who was asking specifically about Sweden and about their approach being so different. Their approach is, according to the listener, that they just kind of want to let everyone get infected so that they build up an immunity to this. And of course, the hope behind that is that people will build up the immunity, but also a number of, especially the at-risk populations that we're talking about, could pass away as a result. So that's certainly been another approach that other places have been taking.
I've not read about that particular to Sweden, and for some reason the comments aren't coming up on my page. I'm glad you're able to see those, Crystal. So you'll have to be the comment editor for us today. It's not showing up on my page for some reason. I've not read about that specific to Sweden. I did read about that strategy being implemented, and now it seems that the UK is reversing course. It's called developing a herd immunity, and essentially it works the same way as we all have some basic immunity to colds and flus. When I say that, obviously we still catch colds and flus, but colds and flus, the new strains that come out maybe every year or whatever the case may be, I'm talking like I'm an epidemiologist and I'm not, but I've read so much about this the last few days that I feel like I'm the Holiday Inn Express guy. I feel like I've got a lot of rest and a lot of reading on this. So hopefully I'm not talking out of turn here, but colds and flus, even though they may be a different strain, we still have, they're still based on previous strains. And so, as a result, you have some immunity to it. And really the reason people die from flus, are just like we're hearing about this with the coronavirus. You can get it. Anybody can get it. But the people who are more susceptible to it in terms of maybe their lives being at risk are because of other conditions, whether it be age. But it's not just also the underlying conditions, maybe other heart conditions.
And I talked to a friend in Australia who said he's a smoker, who said that her doctor told her that she's at high risk because she's a smoker.
So. Well, because that causes respiratory issues. I mean, that automatically makes you a person with a respiratory underlying condition. So it flus are the same. They affect people who they can affect people worse who have underlying conditions. And so, but we have a herd immunity to colds and flus to some degree. Obviously, we still catch them, but they're much less lethal. This coronavirus one, we don't have a herd immunity to it. We're calling it a novel coronavirus, or at least you're seeing it called a novel coronavirus, because the word novel means new. It's a new virus, and as a result, no one has immunity to it, except now the people who've, you see those numbers on the trackers, especially the WHO World Health Organization trackers that say recovered. Presumably, again, this isn't proven yet, but we, based on what we know about epidemiology, a person who has a contracted a virus and then recovers would have antibodies to protect them against the virus in the future. Now, we have some people who are scaremongering, I feel, by saying, well, we don't know that. One, okay, we know how the human body works. And two, well, we don't know that it'll protect you against the coronavirus when it strengthens. The flu and colds also do the same thing. They either strengthen or weaken. They have different forms and in different outbreaks. But you still have a basic antibody that protects you against, certain molecules of that. So I'm talking out of turn of myself, but I do know that basically that's the case there.
I think that's the point, is that many of us are staying.
Let me finish. I wasn't done with the UK part. The UK part, and I presume the Sweden is the same way. Their approach is different than everybody else in the world. At least the UK now is retracted on it. But the idea was, let's just let everybody get sick, and then we'll all develop these antibodies. And so, okay, well, in theory, that would work. I mean, that's exactly what I think the comment you're seeing there, Crystal, says is, oh, yeah, in theory, that would work. I mean, everybody get it, and we'd all have antibodies. But the thing is, 80% of the cases will be mild, 20% would be somewhat, serious. And then of those, there's a portion that is obviously very serious, and those people would die. And so what we have right now is a death rate. I think that the death rate may be inflated just because a lot of countries are reporting deaths versus confirmed cases. And those confirmed cases, like you said, Crystal, we're only testing people here, United States-wise, who are showing the obvious symptoms of it. So we're not catching the milder cases, but the reported death rates right now are around, at least, you know, it seems like worldwide, outside of Italy, Italy's has the higher one because there's just hit a senior population more, but worldwide it seems around 2.5%. That's roughly 15, 20 times higher than the rate of the flu. Now, even if you presume that we're missing out on a good number of cases of the mild in that number, I still think you're talking about the lethality of this virus being probably five times at least greater than the flu. And so if you want to create herd immunity, you're going to kill. I mean, I know the United States numbers. I don't know Sweden's demographic numbers. But if you were to extrapolate, if the United States were to practice a similar policy, the flu season kills around 60,000 people in the United States. If you have a five times higher death rate from the coronavirus, you're talking 300,000 people. This is a country of 330 million people. You know, in the grand scheme of things, that's a sliver of a percent, right? But it's still 300,000 people.
I shared that number with a friend last night that I was chatting with, that you had done the math and that was kind of the number if we had adopted a similar approach here in the United States. And to say that they were shocked and all of a sudden understood much more the necessity of kind of of distancing and self-quarantining a little bit and that kind of thing. That was certainly the case after talking with my friend and giving those big numbers.
So what we're balancing here, I guess as we're summing up, we're about the hour mark. This has been a great podcast. I think the people who commented, thank you. And Crystal, you've done a great job of keeping me on task as well. But what we're balancing here is threading a needle. This is what we're doing. We're threading a needle because obviously the shutdown features, however long they last, I mean, they're not going to be 2 weeks. They're going to be 8 weeks might even be generous. It's going to be probably into the early summer, at least into June, but it's going to be into the summer. This is going to cause, obviously, it's going to cause, I mean, a recession in pure economic terms is defined as two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. We're going to have a global recession. It's just going to happen. You know, we're not going to restaurants as much. We're not going to vacations right now. We're not flying. We're not going to be buying much gas when we're all shuttered at home for the most part. So there's going to be less economic activity. There's going to be a global recession. What we're threading the needle of, though, is, okay, we're balancing global recession, which we can come back from, versus, if worst case scenario, we lose 2% of the world's population. 2% of the world's population is roughly 6 billion people. That's, 2% of that, one quick math is what, 120 million people. I mean, worldwide, maybe I'm doing the numbers wrong there. Let me do this real quick, but that's a lot of people. I mean, 2% of the U.S. population, if that were to be the case, I just gave you the number of, if everybody got it, 2% of that would be 6 million people. If we go by the numbers that I think are more realistic, that the lethality of this is 0.8%, and 40% of us get it, you're still looking at, again, the 300,000 to 500,000 people number that we're talking about there. Is it worth a couple of quarters of recession that we can come back from to not have to lose 300,000 to 500,000 people prematurely? That's the decision we're making right now. I believe in America that we value life more than we value money, and that we can make the money back later. And I hope that people understand. Yeah, like you said, Crystal, the discussion you had with a friend, I hope that more people understand that's why you saw President Trump, who up until probably Sunday night believed that he really was winning the battle against coronavirus. Yesterday, the President Trump you saw, who was contrite in that press conference, scared, looking into the future and seeing what could be. I don't know what happened to get him to come into the realm of reality, but I think it was that. I think it was that realization that we're not talking money here. We're talking people's lives.
So we are just over the hour mark right now. So we are going to wrap up. I do want to just remind people to be kind, check on your neighbors, check on senior citizens who may live nearby. Again, there's resources available on AugustaFreePress.com. If you go to our website, click on AFP coronavirus links. Under those links, you'll find tons of information, pretty much everything that we discussed today as far as community resources, whether you're looking to volunteer, whether you're looking to request assistance, if you're looking for a food pantry, looking for information on how to get those school meals that we discussed earlier in the podcast, or donate to that local response fund that's going to be kind of helping out throughout the Stanton, Waynesboro, and Augusta area of Virginia here. We've had a lot of international listeners, and we appreciate you joining us as well. But we do encourage local folks to go to AugustaFreePress.com. Chris Graham will be continuing to provide you with stories as well as insights as the situation continues. And look to our Facebook page, Facebook.com/AugustaFreePress. If you want to continue to follow us on some additional live broadcasts that we have, if you're looking to kind of break away from coronavirus, which we completely understand, and perhaps think of other subjects, Chris Graham does have a couple of live broadcasts coming up later today. One related to sports, I believe UVA sports, with Jerry Ratcliffe this afternoon. And I think the timing on that is going to be around 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then also a NASCAR podcast scheduled for this evening around 5:30 p.m. I'm not sure if that'll be live or not, but
It'll be live. That'll be live as well. Yeah.
And you can find all of our past podcasts as well as other information on our website at AugustaFreePress.com. So definitely encourage you to go there. We're going to be doing some fun things on Augusta Free Press. We'll tell you more about later. For example, yesterday we launched a virtual book club where folks can actually buy a book, and we're going to do a virtual book club event eventually here in about a month. Give everybody time to get the book and read it, especially with shipping times being delayed and things of that nature. We also asked our listeners and our readers to give us TV series that we can all binge watch. And we got everything from The Golden Girls and MASH to 90210 and Breaking Bad and Boardwalk Empire. So we got a whole assortment of series that people love. And so we're going to maybe put those together in some kind of like a bracket challenge and narrow that down. So we're going to try to do some things to kind of take your mind off the severity of everything that's happening around us. So again, Chris, thanks for your insight as always. And to listeners and to readers, we encourage you to go to AugustaFreePress.com to keep up on the latest information regarding businesses and links to information that we think you'll find helpful. Anything you want to add, Chris, before we wrap up?
Oh, the only other thing I think we'll be adding in the next few days, we're all stuck at home, and we're going to start a exercise fitness tips series. Hopefully I can help with that. I actually, for years, have been working at home anyway, and I do a pretty good job, I think. I lost over 100 pounds 6 years ago. I've kept it off and largely do things at home in front of the TV. We're all going to be home in front of TVs for a while, so I'm going to share some of my tips, and just maybe if it helps, it helps.
Instead of what they're saying, which is that we might have some baby making happening and a lot of new babies in 9 months, maybe people can get fit as well and come out of this a little bit fitter and healthier. So, I look forward to sharing that series on AugustaFreePress.com as well. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in today. We appreciate your time. I know we went over an hour, but I hope this information was helpful and gives you a little snapshot of what's happening in our world here in a little part of Virginia. So, again, AugustaFreePress.com is your place to go. Thanks for joining us. We hope you have a great day, and we'll have more information for you soon.